Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 39 in More About Alcoholism on the first paragraph. Today's readers we have for the 12 steps, Arlene E., the 12 traditions, Nancy R., reader of the text, Christina L., page 164, if they don't come in, it's going to be our backup, Sally A. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Reva P., and our second hour host is Leah S. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, May 19th, for the 7 a.m. meeting, it's 23,471, that's 23471. And for our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for yesterday, it's 23,472. That's 23472. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who share experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence, and practice the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Arlene E. to please come in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Arlene.
Good morning, everyone. This is Arlene E. from New York, here to read the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to make personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. I'm now going to ask Nancy R. to please come in and read the 12 traditions. Nancy.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and good morning, everyone. This is Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 39, the first paragraph, which starts, "That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people." Reading the one paragraph, let us take another illustration, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. I'm now going to ask Christina L. to please come in and start reading. Come on in, Christina.
All right. Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathy, for your service. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This is a point we wish to emphasize and reemphasize, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. Let us take another illustration. So, you know, this paragraph is setting us up for Fred here, or at least we're going to be going into Fred tomorrow. But, you know, what is it that it's, hang on, can't see my glasses, hang on. That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains have not been damaged as ours were. You know, that what they're saying, that may be true of certain non-alcoholic people, is some people may be able to stop. My husband's grandfather, something happened. He did something foolish, I guess, when he was drinking. And then after that, he never took another drop for as long as he lived. Was he an alcoholic? I have no idea. Probably not, because he was able to stop and stay stopped for the rest of his life. That's not my experience. I didn't experience that before I came into program. I was able to stop for a period of time. doing diets and what have you, but I could never stay stopped. And my body was damaged. And even coming into program, the disease progressed even while I was abstinent or recovering. And if anything, I think it progressed even faster than before I came into program. I am not able to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. I love what I heard yesterday. Information does not mean transformation. The other thing I want to point out is we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize to smash home upon our alcoholic readers. Smash, I looked that up, and it means to destroy utterly. And that brings me back to the second paragraph on page 30 when we first started reading this chapter. The delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. And I pray to God that it's been smashed in me because I definitely do not want to go back to where I was at before. This last 2 months have been absolutely insane with my son's graduation on Friday, the trip I took chaperoning last month, as I've shared before, coming home with a mini inventory that needed to be done, all the events and ceremonies and awards that have taken place, sponsoring 12-step work. And I have to be honest, I was starting to slip back down into to what I was doing in my last relapse, where first I let go of step 10s, then I let go of step 11, and then I let go of my sponsee. I definitely don't want to go back to that place today. And thank you, God. I was able get through all of those inventories that I came home with. And, I'm starting with a new sponsor, and I'm just incredibly grateful to be where I'm at today, and especially for the strength and power of grace and mercy of my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Christina. Thank you for getting us started. I'm now going to take some names. If you'd like to share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Although we value your experience,
Mary
we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. Is there anybody beside Larry that would like to share this morning? I have you. Thank you, Larry.
Mary B.
Trisha D.
Okay,
Georgia.
Wow. Okay. So out of all of that, I heard Larry K., Mary B., Janet B., and a Trisha. So I'm sure I missed some names. So would you like to give me some more again?
Suzanne M.
Reva P.
Ann M. Suzanne M.
T.
Suzanne. Yeah.
B.
I got you, Suzanne M. and P. B. So that's the only. Nope.
Reva P.
Got you,
Nadine
Reva. Thank
D.
you. Nadine.
Cheryl L.
Okay, I'm going to go with this lineup. Thank you so much for your patience. We have Larry K., Mary B., Janet B., Trisha, Suzanne, PC, Reva, Nadine, and Cheryl. We'll start with that, and after we'll take the second lineup, and thank you for your patience. Larry K., please come in and share with us.
Thanks so much. Lots of enthusiasm, especially with me. So I jumped right in there. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for the lead. Thanks for the service, everybody. Before coming into OA, I felt like I was really drowning in the pursuit of self-knowledge. And for me, there was a lot of sort of a cloak of false pride. And I would read, I would read a lot. I would read book after book after book, trying to feed my intellect, as kind of a solution to killing myself with food. I I thought I can get to the bottom of this, but there was one thing that I couldn't deny. And that was that I could not get comfortable in my own skin. My life was just horribly unmanageable. It was getting worse and worse and worse by the day. But I have a lot of fight in me. And I remember I continued to put my armor on each day for the battle. You know, I'll will myself to freedom, more self-knowledge, more analysis, just kind of a daily dive to uncover the why, you know, and all the while, you know, there was a deeper dive into the food. So, you know, the metaphor that comes to mind for me is that it was like I was holding a compass that was like in my hand, it was spinning. And you can study every direction, but without a true north, you know, a higher power, a relationship with the higher power, every path that I would take felt equally uncertain, you know, it just did. And people are dropping like flies in the rooms, and certainly out of the rooms. And people like us that have the allergy, have the obsession, just not aware of it maybe. And their compass is spinning wildly, but no true north. And so, you know, we read here, you know, that the actual potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, would be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. That has to be dismissed. I have to accept that. I was at an AA meeting yesterday where someone talked about the spiritual side of the program, you know, but for me, there isn't any other side, you know, that's it. It's just a spiritual program. It's all about a means of coming into a relationship with the higher power. And, you know, and that's why I love hearing your stories, because that, you know, I relate to the stories of how people form the relationship with higher power, from Bill's story to the 40 stories or such in the back of the book to your stories. That's where I get it. So grateful for you. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. Larry K. from Illinois. Next up, we have Mary B., followed by Janet B., and then Tricia. Mary, please come in and tell us where you're calling in from, please.
Thank you. My name's Mary B. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from the UK. And thank you for moderating the meeting, and thanks for everybody who's on the line and participating today and for the reading. Wow. Self-knowledge. If I'd had put as much effort into knowledge of my higher power of God as I have into self-knowledge and understanding why I have this disease, this compulsion to eat or around my food behaviours, I would have saved myself a lot of time, and I would potentially have helped a lot of other people recover and carry a message that had depth and weight, because the message that I carry is about detail, not depth and weight, when I'm stuck in self-knowledge. When I have lots of knowledge about my behaviours, how they show up, and what I think I need to do to control, enjoy, manage those, then I forget the simple truth and the common solution that's been on offer here for as long as I've been in OA, and yet my awareness and understanding of it has had to evolve over time. And it doesn't have to be like that. That's been what's happened for me, being an alcoholic and recovering quickly and back-to-back sobriety for 18 years didn't transfer as credits to my OA recovery. And yet at the same time, it's matched by my true surrender, my true honesty, to be here, to be abstinent, and to work these steps like my life depends on it. And mostly in chapter 7, you know, that intensive work with other alcoholics is the thing that gives me immunity. And the times when I have been most challenged in OA is when I have not practiced steps 10, 11, and 12, when I've drifted from that, when I've moved apart from what is my medicine in this program. And it's got nothing to do about with my food plan. That's what I need to stay upright. But what I need to stay spiritually fit is that surrender, is that honesty. And do I run away and do I get frightened if the compulsion comes back? Yeah, I do. But do I recoil from it as a hot flame? Absolutely, if I do what's in the book, if I do 10, 11 and 12. I'm grateful to be surrounded by my fellows and people who walk alongside me in this program. And yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak and wishing everybody a peaceful, abstinent day ahead.
Thank you so much, Mary B. from the UK. Next up, we have Janet B., followed by Tricia. Come on in, Janet.
Hey, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So it tells us we're absolutely unable to stop eating on the basis of self-knowledge. And that was my experience. I went to Overeaters Anonymous. I got it. I'm powerless. My life is a train wreck. I can't stop. I mean, I didn't have a very sophisticated understanding, you know, about maybe the broken bridge or anything like that. But I understood that I couldn't stop eating. And you know what that did for me? Nothing. For 7 years, I was in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, knowing I was powerless over food, knowing my life was an absolute train wreck, and that did nothing for me. Well, of course not, right? When I had like bronchitis, I couldn't say, oh, I have bronchitis, now that I know I'm going to get better. And the solution wasn't to understand more fully bronchitis. And just like for me, the solution wasn't to understand more fully what it meant to be powerless. Because the way I read it, there is a step zero, and it's on page 58. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. So I have to make two decisions, that I want what these people offer. What do we offer? Only one thing, a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And why on earth should I want that? Well, page 25 tells me, right, that a spiritual experience is when our Creator enters our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous and commences to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Well, what couldn't I do for myself? I couldn't stop eating. So I had to work these steps, if that's what they had, willing to go to any lengths to get it. Unfortunately, for my first 6 years, nobody told me the right lengths. They said it was like, write your food, make three calls, go to a certain amount of meetings, all good, all things I asked my sponsees to do. But they didn't tell me that the solution, the real solution, was a relationship with God. And that in order to get that relationship, I had to be honest. Nobody in 6 years told me, Janet, if you're dishonest, don't even bother, it won't work. I had to start thinking about other people. I had to clear away the wreckage of my past. And when I did that, when we do that, the miracle comes true. There's a line in, I think it's a vision for you. It says, the age of miracles is still with us. And it really and truly is. And how lucky are we that we have the formula for a miracle in 12, like simple but not always easy steps. And with that, I pass.
Janet, thank you so much. It's Janet B. from North Carolina. And before Tricia comes in, I just wanted to let people know who came in after. We are on page 39 in the big book on the first paragraph. That may be true of certain non-alcoholics. Next up, we have Tricia D., followed by Suzanne and then Pete B. Tricia, come on in, share with us, please.
Good morning. This is Tricia D., compulsive overeater from Georgia. Again, great shares today, and I love this paragraph. The compulsive overeater says our brains and our bodies are more damaged than others. When I read that, those words jump at the page because jump off the page at me. I think of our brain, my thinking, you know, always got me in trouble. And, of course, I have the body, the allergy of the body. The actual compulsive overeater will be absolutely unable to stop eating on the basis of self-knowledge. And that idea must be smashed because of my own bitter experiences. And gosh, I just feel it down to my core. It, you know, I joined OA back in 2010. And for the first 10 years, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to figure this out. Self-knowledge, that thinking, again, must be smashed. My thinking such as, I can figure this out. I won't do this again. I can't believe this candy bar has more power over me than me.
know, I'll try doing this. Maybe this will work. Or I don't need to do all this work like weigh and measure and make calls and meetings, that accountability. Oh, that's just, but you know what? My life depended on it because, you know, that I did not realize, it, as it's been previously shared as well, that emotional buildup is what was causing me to get into the food. And also I had no power. I had no power over this, and I had to smash that idea daily that I had no power. And that biggest, you know, that step two, come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, that I have to live every single day. And again, step three, make that decision to turn my life and my will over. And that's why I listen to vision meetings every day. I have to hear the reminder that I'm an addict, but also need the reminder that I'm powerless. And being spiritually fit was a missing factor for me, as been beautifully shared. You know, on page 52 of the big book, it says, when we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, which I call God, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our idea did not work, but the God idea did. And that was the secret. And it's just that I thought I could do it on my own. And I have, again, cannot. It's totally a spiritual. I must be spiritually fit. And that takes time of just being quiet, being still before God, surrendering every day, clean house, trust God, and help others. You know, it took me, for me personally, it took relapsing after a liver transplant to finally surrender. And today, I'm just so grateful to have over 5 years of neutrality from the sugar. And just, it's just a miracle, a true miracle that I don't want it. I don't crave it. I can be in the room with it and don't want it. And I'm so grateful that I can, thank you. And I'm just so grateful I can work with others who say and sponsor, and it is just the greatest gift. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tricia D. from Georgia. Next up, we have Suzanne, followed by Pete, and then Reva. Suzanne, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, Kathy and everyone. Thank you, everyone, for your service. This is Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, only through the grace and mercy of God. What a reading. You know, first of all, I know I've been taught, you know, with smashed, you know, it's a strong word. It's jump up and listen. And I do have to smash my ideas my whole life. You know, because Suzanne's way does not work, never has, and never will. You know, when I talk about that, I think about willingness. So every day I ask God to help me stay clean, abstinent, and willing, because I have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Recently, I just changed my food plan to 301, and it has made my life so much more manageable. I can't even, you know, I've been coming around for about 8 years. I had a year abstinent last month, but this change in the food plan. So that's it. We have to keep working. We talk about progress. It can't stay static. Just like my relationship with higher power, that has to be progressive. I have to give more to him each day as he gives more to me. And he will give to me even without me giving. But if I want to maintain that relationship, that's what I need to do. I like a lot of people are talking about self-knowledge, and one of my favorite sayings is discovery is not recovery. I can know all the ins and outs and how this works and how that works, but until I have the willingness to put down the food, to pick up the literature, to go to meetings, to pray, to do all the things that help me maintain that spiritual relationship, and helping others. Somebody else talked about how busy they've been this past week or 2 weeks, and I've had a really busy week, and, you know, I planted my whole garden, which is a big deal, and I'm planning a surprise birthday party for my husband this coming weekend, and all of these things, and you know what? I've been very settled, and it's okay. Last night it poured and washed half of my brand new mulch away, and I came out this morning and I took notice of it. I didn't throw a hissy, which I normally would. You know, now they're calling for really bad rain on the day of the party. I already ordered a tent. It is what it is. God's going to make it all right, right? And here's a thought. Parties are about people, not weather, right? So I am so grateful for this program and this meeting and all of you. And nobody told you today they love you. I love you. And that's all I have.
Thank you so much. That was Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Pete B., followed by Reva, and then Nadine. Come on in, Pete.
Thanks, Kathy, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. I think, I think it's just human nature to consider or to feel like if we could just figure something out, we should be able to solve it. And in most instances, that could be the case, right? For a lot of things. It's very practical, right? If I just figure out what the problem is and somebody tells me what the solution is, I just follow those things and it gets better, right? But the only problem with that is relative to this condition is that there is no practical solution to this. Everything about the solution to this is impractical for a compulsive overeater. You know, it really makes me scratch my head when I hear people talk about this condition. And for some reason I have this tendency to soften the language about it, right? Like yesterday, many people were referring to it as, you know, a built-in forgetter, like, oh, I forgot, right? And our book describes it in this chapter specifically. It talks about what it is. We have a physical condition, but we have a serious mental illness. We have illusions, we have delusions, and we're plagued with self-deceit. That's what people that are institutionalized have. And we just refer to it as, oh, I have a built-in forgetter. If I just implement the tools of the program, well, then I'll remember, right? Like as if remembering is going to help me, right? But remembering is a mental defense. And it says we have no mental defense. It also says that no human power can solve this. You know, we like to consider this idea. We're talking about the foundation of the program, the foundation of the understanding we have to get to, what we have to concede. And we think for some reason steps 10, 11, and 12 are going to do something about that. Right? What about steps 1, 2, and 3? More people go out practicing steps 10, 11, and 12 because they haven't really taken steps 1, 2, and 3. What exactly are we conceding? Are we conceding to the significance and the severity of this condition when we say, oh, I just forgot. I forgot I had it, right? The significance and severity of the scars that we put on the people as a result of the condition and the scars we put on ourselves. Right? Has the delusion that we're like other people or ever will be like other people, has that been smashed? Do I really recognize that I'm technically insane and no human power is going to restore that sanity? Have I really turned my life and will over to the care of God as I understand God? Or I just made a decision to start practicing these things that everybody says I have to practice because they're going to do something that everybody says they're going to do, yet 99% of the people fail at doing it. Right?
This is
a significant pass, thanks.
Thank you, Pete. That's Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Reva, followed by Nadine and Cheryl. And after Cheryl, I can take a few more names. Reva, please come in and share with us.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I love this reminder. I need this reminder, whether I'm coming in for the first time or I'm here several years. Information is not transformation. Knowing better doesn't mean I do better. And I didn't really get that until I experienced that. So when I first came in, allergy of the body, I knew that was totally my experience. You know, not that difficult to identify alcoholic foods, ingredients, behaviors, but the mental obsession, I really did think, you know, now I understand it. You've given me the steps. I'm powerless. Hey, I'm powerless. Just, I don't know, some ask God in a moment and I'm going to be fine. But I couldn't. I couldn't. I had no mental defense. That mental twist, mental blank spots, whatever I want to call it, I was powerless. If I am a real, I'm not moderate, I'm a real compulsive overeater, knowing better does not get me to do better. And for me, that applies to the food, that applies to my character defects. I'm supposed to have this spiritual, psychic change. I don't make the psychic change. It happens to me as a result of doing these simple instructions. There's a recipe here. I follow the instructions in the sequence that they're outlined, and I get the experience. And it is bitter experience because my mind keeps telling me, I got this. I know I'm not supposed to be angry. I'll just be, you know, I can't do that. I know I'm not supposed to be scared. I'll just will myself to not be scared. Just like the food, I can't will myself into anything. And my mind doesn't even click in with all this knowledge. I could read this book with you guys every single day. It doesn't matter how much I know about the book and what this word means and that word means. I have to do it. It's like exercise. I could know about exercise, but my body's not fit. I have to actually do it. So I need to get spiritually fit. I need to have this experience. And when I smash this idea, you know how it gets smashed? Every time I try to do it on my own will, it gets smashed. And for me, I guess smashed is supposed to be that when something is so smashed, I can't even put it back together. Like I'm not going to be a normal eater, moderate eater. And the same with my behaviors and defects. I need to have this experience so I can differentiate the true from the false. So this power does for me what I can't do for myself. So I'm so grateful for the reminder. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva. That's Reva P. from Canada. Next up, we have Nadine, followed by Cheryl. And we are on page 39, the first paragraph, in the chapter More About Alcoholism. Nadine, please come in and share with us. Tell us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please.
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Nadine B., compulsive eater, recovering today by the grace of God in Chicago. Thanks to everyone who's doing service on this meeting today. This is my first time sharing at A Vision for You, and I've been in program for a little over 5.5 years, or just about 5.5 years. And I've been, you know, listening to this meeting for basically my entire time in program, and it's taken me a long time to really grasp how badly that this delusion that like I can one day be like a normal eater had to be smashed. I appreciate this paragraph because I'm going through the steps again now. I just recently finished my step 6, and in the process of doing the step work through the big book, and really connecting with the power greater than myself in this process, I am looking for all of the dishonesty in my life. Where am I willing to be honest, and where am I unwilling to be honest? And, you know, what's come up for me recently is that an ingredient that I had initially put down in my early days in OA, I took it back a few months ago and thinking that I could safely consume it. And boy, was I wrong. I wasn't fully convinced from the beginning that it needed to be put down. But, you know, after mucking around for the last few months, I really came to understand that I was putting this ingredient between myself and God. And you know, thank God for the steps and thank God for this program, because without a way to process my feelings and my resentments and my fears and really see my character defects, I couldn't really get honest with myself about my spiritual problem and how I was turning to food for the solution. Solution's not in the food, the solution's in God, in this program, in the steps, in the miracle that occurs when I do the work and I connect with my higher power. And so I put down that ingredient. The food noise went way down. The cravings have gone down. And I feel closer to God than I've felt in a long time. And I'm so appreciative of everyone who has helped to get me here, helped me connect with my higher power for guidance on this matter. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadine from Illinois. Next up, we have Cheryl L. And after Cheryl, I could take a few more names. Come in, Cheryl.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Grateful to be on the meeting and able to share on this reading. You know, when I go back in my big book and I look at the pages, you know, leading up to this, I just see my own thinking that I used before I surrendered. And, you know, my own thinking was full of rationalization, was full of self-sufficiency, resentment, you know, aggravations, annoyances. I had so many thoughts that would lead me back into the food. I had fears. You know, there was the same thing. I kept trying the same thing over and over again. Was not getting, you know, the abstinence that I desired. And yet, in this paragraph, it says, the actual potential alcoholic with hardly an exception. I wanted to be the exception. You know, I learned a lot. I prided myself on education, you know, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to figure this out, like I've heard so many people say. And, you know, my first time in this program, there wasn't a higher power that I was working with. I was trying to do this by myself. And after 7 years of trying to do it by myself, I found myself back on the food again. And even when I came back in, my sponsor, you know, would just shake her head, because I would come to her with this problem and, you know, what am I going to do about this? And she's like, have you gone to God? And, you know, and I really wasn't. And it's taken me a long, long time to get from that place of self-sufficiency to God-reliance, from self-reliance to God-reliance. You know, and what I have discovered, and this is so important for us, it's so important for me, is that I have to continue to develop that God reliance. And people have spoken very, very strongly about this. And I have bristled and I've resisted, but little by slowly it has started to infiltrate my life. It started to work its way into my life. And just like with meditation in step 11, I can't do without God, you know, any more than I can do without light, air, sunshine. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl from Florida. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. I'm now ready to take a few more names. Would anyone else like to share?
Janice P.M.
Kimberly K.
Anita J.
Janice P.M. Anita J. Kimberly. And then let me try to take one more.
Bonnie B.
Thank you, Bonnie. Now, if we each take less than 3 minutes, we can get all four in, okay? So Janice P.M., please come in and share with us.
Thank you. Pardon me. Thank you so much, Kathy. And please time me. I'll do the 2 minutes as much as I can. Okay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. So the whole thing here is asking myself and us, who can stay sober? Who can stay abstinent on self-knowledge? Self, there's a little word there, self-knowledge. It doesn't say knowledge from books or whatever. It says self-knowledge. So I say to myself, after many years of study and listening to the stories, like was said, how do I fix myself? What has to change? I tried. Well, this is what I've learned. Every action that I do starts with a thought. And my thinking is the problem, right? I can't fix myself. My mind is insane. I have illusions. I have delusions, like was said. I need to change everything. I need to change my my environment. My playground. You know, I can't go to restaurants in the beginning. I couldn't. I'm just talking about myself. You know, I had to change my playmates. I had to change everything. And I can't do that because my insanity always wins out. This was my actions. I would think something. I would make it right, my thinking. Then I'd make a decision based on that thought. And then I would do the action, and what happens? Failure. I had to be fixed. I had to be controlled by a higher power because I had the power. I was powerless. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay stopped. I could do it many times, dieting, but being abstinent does not keep me abstinent. Because it doesn't change my mind. Yeah, it gives me a good food plan, and that works. But I need more than that. I need a power. I don't have any defense against my thinking. And that's the crux of my problem. So because I've gone through steps, it's all about relationships, too. It's like a relationship with God, steps 1, 2, and 3. A relationship, here it goes, with self. And
that's time, Janet.
And then, thank you very much. And I just want to give the last relationship is with others. And then we can stay stopped if we do 10, 11, and 12. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Janice PM from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Vanita J, followed by Kimberly and Bonnie. Anita, please come in and share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Anita. Jay from Massachusetts, trying very hard to live in a recovery again through the grace of God. You know what? I thought I found out something. I think a lot of people learned how to read just by sight reading. You know the words, but you don't know what it means because I've read this paragraph since 1978, because we didn't have any other books. And self-knowledge avails us nothing. That I read it, but I really believed I was the exception. And after some fantastic therapy that showed me so much about my childhood, guess what it availed me in terms of my weight? You all know. Absolutely nothing. Did I get something out of it? Yes, I did. I didn't have any more hidden things that make me feel so uncomfortable. That was laid bare, but it had nothing to do with, my God, you can't have one. You can't have one. And that didn't happen till Vision in early 2014. That was even more phenomenal. I can't say phenomenal than some of the other insights I had into my life. finding out you can't have one is one of the greatest gifts God gave me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. And next up, we have Kimberly K., followed by Bonnie B. Kimberly, please come in and share with us and tell us where you're calling in from, please.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kimberly K., recovering compulsive overeater from New Hampshire. It really makes me smile and enthused when I come on to this meeting because I'm reminded that I'm not alone with this insidious compulsion. And by my willingness and my surrendering, I've been able to collect some time. And that is a gift from God. It is my third time coming back into OA. And the knowledge that I have actually learned and been blessed with comes from my sponsor and listening to all you with your experience, strength, and hope that I can tap into, go to the filing cabinet and say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as I just heard, you know, self-reliance, run riot. Yeah, I need God reliance. And I thought I had God. Oh, yeah, I'm all set. I understand how God's worked in my life. Let me tell you a few examples, right? But the action of relying on God has come through learning the and understanding the 12 steps and how to use those in my life. It has been said that many are called to this disease. Few are chosen for the recovery. And I am so grateful as I watch the sunrise this morning. There is a God, and I'm not him. And for that, I'm grateful. I hope everybody has a great Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. Thank you so much. That's Kimberly Kay from New Hampshire. And last up, we have Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Come on in, Bonnie.
Hey, Kathy. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the shares. What a meeting once again. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered, back in the state of Minnesota for the next 5 months. What a meeting. What a paragraph. You know, everything for me goes back to, am I connected at that base level with God? I mean, I came in with a list. Oh, my word, it was a long list. I have entered into a stage in my life where I call it like veto power. I give all the power back to God. That means I don't get to call the shots. God has to have the final word in everything. I have to die to myself. There was such a fear that if I gave more of myself to God, then there'd be less of me. It's the exact opposite. It's only in losing my life, and I mean that sincerely as far as like surrendering all of it to God, that I am finally for the first time finding a position where I can live. And it doesn't mean that everything around me goes the way I want it to go. People have spoke about that. All of us have this thing called life going on. But the question is, can I enter into it living in a state or remaining in a state of emotional sobriety, which to me is the same thing as peace and joy, rising above the circumstances, like I'm flying over it, looking down on it and trusting God and maybe even leaning in and being curious and saying, God, what is it that you have in this? Self-knowledge works zero for me. In any area of my life, I'm the one that has the list. I think I can figure it out. Never the case. And when it came to this program and my food and the behaviors, similar here also. But I have a creator, and he has revealed to me exactly what I need to do. I need to die to myself today, surrender all to him, and be of maximum service to the people that he places in my life. And everything is beautiful. Thanks again for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That's Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Thanks for taking us out. And thank you for the last four to take less minutes so that all of you four can share. Thank you for everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the close. And our share ID for today, Wednesday, May 20th, 2026, is 23,477. That's 23477. We're now going to close with the reading from the big book, and I'm just checking. Did our reader come in? Because we do have our backup.
Our reader is here. We bow.
Yay. Come on in, reader. Come on in, Charles. Thank you. Please read page 164.
I'm going to read. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.